Okay, good morning. Today's class is Lanishma Yuch Medan Gadayas, the Fu Shalim or Shalmi Minadan and Sarah, all the soldiers and hostages. Also, success in Yarshamayim, Belisheva, Ragadi, Oben, Lisheva, Emmet, Belisheva, Shefa, Belisheva, Reina, Malka, Betova, Basham. And God willing, we should all have success. It looks like April 8th and 9th, we're going to be in LA. And it looks like February 28th in Mexico City. We'll be posting the announcements. So today's class, please share and rate the podcast. Also, we're opening up if you guys want to come to the morning class, it's at 7:30 in the morning approximately, in Nativ Ezra community, which is in Aventura. You can Google Nativ Ezra. It's open for men and women, and I should be here for a while. So no more vacations, no more anything. Okay, we're going to talk about two concepts, lesson 26 in the second half of Likutei Moharan, and also a great map of consciousness explained by David Hawkins. We're going to talk about addictions. And I'm going to show you how Reb Nachman brings it out, and it pretty much parallels exactly what David Hawkins says. He says, Reb Nachman begins the Torah by saying a person has to avoid being drunk. He has to avoid drunkenness. And not drink more than he can handle, not to become intoxicated. Yet, a bit is actually very good for expanding one's dot. So it means drinking a little alcohol is good because it expands your dot. This is why every single holiday, every single situation, there's always a kiddush on wine. So there's obviously wine cannot be bad if it has a positive. And no, dot, which is consciousness, is the chasadim, which is the benevolence, which is cloaked. It says when a person drinks to measure, What wine does is it expands his consciousness. It expands his consciousness. It makes him so. Really, what alcohol does, or what any substances do, is they kill the ego, which we're going to talk about the logistics of it. But why do we like a drink? I want to loosen up. Why are we not loosening up in the first place? Because you're holding on to this. You're holding on to that. You're thinking about tomorrow. So technically, we are all very tense in general. So we do need. Specifically on Passover, we drink 4 cups because you really have to feel like you're free. You know, imagine how much alcohol you need to feel like you're free today. You know, how much we're stuck in Egypt mindset. You understand? So Reb Nachman tells us here, and he's saying here that wine, both wine and spices and good fragrances open up your mind. It gives you good energy. And he's saying here, why? Because yain is a numerical value of 70, which is also the numerical value of sod, which is a secret. So when you drink wine, secrets come out. Basically, when you're more loose, when you're deeper, and you're more into, you have a good glass of wine or whatever, or it doesn't have to be wine. It could be any drink, but smaller, it does open you up. Sometimes I can't even start a class, and I need to study, and just my head's not there. I'll have put a little music, I'll have a shot of tequila, and boom, I can focus more. Obviously, just to expand one's consciousness, obviously because of the severity of the galus that we're in, etc. Now, what does he say here? It's extremely important to understand that if what you're drinking is bringing you to more love to people, if you're wine and you're more letting go. For example, you have a shalom bayit, you have a situation in marriage, and you go out to dinner, you drink wine, and okay, I forgive you. If it's bringing you to higher love. If it's bringing you to love, then it's good. And then the wine, then that dot, and that consciousness is dressed in kindness. But if that wine that you're drinking, or whatever you're drinking, is bringing you to more for more control and hatred, and now you have more vengeance against people, then it's doing the wrong thing for you. So here you see, it's like either it helps you, or it does, and obviously too much of any of it, it's terrible for you. But there is a proof that Reb Nachman says that wine does open up consciousness. So there's this is not some just scientific or some David Hawkins thing. Wine does open up awareness. Wine does get you into a better mood. Wine, alcohol, whatever it is, it does. It's the Gemara says that. Now, what he's saying here is the fact that you want to get high on life, high, is actually very good. Okay? It's just the way you're doing it. The fact that you're seeking higher consciousness, because high means, when people say, I want to get high, what are they saying? I want to get to a higher consciousness. So it's actually very good. We should all want to be in higher consciousness. Some of us, obviously, we're learning Torah to get to higher consciousness. We're praying to get to higher consciousness. We're getting to the best self. But when you get, basically, when you do it fast without earning it, you're basically cheating the universe. So any attempt to get super high, any attempt to get to a higher level without working for it, you're cheating the universe. It's like what it's called in Kabbalah, it's called the bread of shame. Is receiving without earning it. And obviously what happens at the end, you stole the light. You crash. You just crash. This is why after every high, if it's not done the right way, there's always shame. That's the first emotion. Shame is, I got something that I didn't deserve. And whatever you got it for what? 20 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, whatever you got, at the end of the day, you're crashing, and then you got to start all over again. Now, but once you taste that, and you see this in the communities, you see this a lot. You see like Hasidim, they go into, they crave heroin, because they never had love. Like they were not accepted. So they need the warm hug that heroin gives them. It's not about the drug. It's what does the drug do for them? You'll see the Syrian community, the Persians, more into cocaine. They need the confidence. They need to feel, that 200-300% dopamine. And you'll see different needs. Anxiety is definitely marijuana is definitely anxiety. They want to feel every single alcohol is control. So every single drug itself has this purpose. Forget about the drug itself. It's what is it doing for you? Now, why are you not confident in the first place? Why do you have to live with self-worth is net worth mindset? You understand? Why do you have to live like that anyway? That's the root of it. You have to get to the point is, what am I really seeking? That means the fact that you're seeking something more, it's good. It's very good. The fact that you're seeking, so there's depthness in every addict. There's a lot of depthness and there's a lot of sensitivity that the person wants more out of this world. Whether a person here, he's watching Netflix 9 to 5, and he doesn't need, he doesn't need anything else in life. He lives a regular standard life, but the fact that you want to seek higher, high, basically when you're what are you doing? Is you're running to the infinite light. Anytime you want to get high, what are we doing? We're running to the infinite light. We're running to the light of Ein Sof. But just like getting high, you need a boundary. You need running and returning. Because if we just run, what happens? We completely break the vessel.
Can you just go a little bit more in depth about alcoholics in general?
Sure. Well, yeah, we're gonna talk about the whole concept of what it does for you and how to fix it on a conscious level. But according to Reb Nachman, as far as alcohol itself, if it's done a little bit, it actually expands your consciousness. It gets you into a better mood, and it makes you more loving. If that's the purpose, if that is what it does for you, then a little bit is good. Like the Gemara says, that wine and a person cannot have happiness unless without wine and meat, on the holidays. There's a reason why. Wine has creatine, meat has creatine, wine has all kinds of. So again, the concept of wine is not bad. It's what happens when people do it for control, for people do it to function in life. But to expand your consciousness, it's actually good. Yes, even mourners. A person just lost a mourner. Gemara says that wine was created for mourners because a person just lost somebody. He needs to take the edge off of life. So we need to take off the edge off of life, period. That's a guarantee. But how we are doing it and what we're doing it and that way is the problem. So the whole point of the 12 steps is to get you to the same high that you got there, but without needing the drugs. But you're doing now, you're earning the high. And how do you get higher? By letting go more. At the end of the day, if you walked around and you let go of every single fear that you had, if you let go of every single grudge that you had, if you let go of worrying about tomorrow, if you let go of yesterday, you would be high. If you let go of judgment, think about what's weighing you down. If you let go of any judgment, if you let go of any enemy, imagine what a couple looks like without thinking, without any resentment. What does a marriage look like without resentment? It's love. It's great, and love heals. Think about what marriage looks like if you stop bringing up Exhibit A every single time somebody does something wrong, or resentment, or this or that. Think about what it looks like. It's beautiful. It's love. It's healing. It's what the world needs. Love also is a painkiller, in the same way. So if you think about it, you would be high on life. You would be high in life. If we did the spiritual work, we would be high on life. And that's what living in the moment is, by the way. That's that. Being high on life is the energy of Mashiach. What's the energy of Mashiach? Is where everything, the world is going to have knowledge that there's not going to be good or bad. That's it. Everything's going to be good. We're going to see everything is good. That is, like, the whole world will be high. But today, because of our hearts are not in the right place, because our minds are confused, because of the way we're in, we feel a lot of pain. And sometimes we use, unfortunately, substances to numb that pain. So what is he saying here? This is why the alcoholic drinks, the addict takes drugs, etc. It's to feel better, right? The whole point is to feel better. Why? Because they're normally paralyzed in fear, which is let's say on a conscious level of 100. And all of a sudden, they'll take, you know, two drinks or a pill, and next thing you know, they'll go into inner joy to 350. So imagine, this is, if you look up, the numbers I'm giving you is a conscious scale of David Hawkins. So imagine you're on an energetic level of 100, and all of a sudden you take a pill, and you're on an energetic level of 350. All of a sudden, what, you know, like I'm on top of the world. So all of a sudden, what happened? All the problems went away? No, it's just the ego that killed. Alcohol and pills, they block the ego. It's blocking you from what you're supposed to pay attention to. But the ego is causing all the damage. It's like the ego is causing all the pain. So the what he's saying here is the any kind of artificial fix to fix your feelings, except for, again, a little wine, like the Gemara says, you can drink a little bit, etc. It's any artificial or any abuse of it, obviously the highs that you're going to get, it's just stolen. All they are is stolen highs. It's stealing electricity, stealing energy, and all it's going to do is after it, you're going to feel completely in debt to the unit. You're going to feel shame, you're going to feel relentless. And then obviously what's going to happen is the climbing up is going to be very challenging, which we're going to talk about now. But addiction is a path to spiritual awakening. Anybody who has an addiction problem, their solution is a spiritual awakening. And that's why Bill W. says the word spirit and spiritus, right? Like the problem for the spirits, which is spirits means alcohol, is spirit. Carl Jung. So the problem becomes a solution. The fact that I'm seeking drugs to get to higher consciousness is I want a spiritual awakening. I'm just doing it the wrong way. I'm abusing the system. Etc. He says you can get there through or why, and why specifically, or a person goes into, God forbid, let's say another path to spiritual awakening also is going through a very, very rough crisis. When you're going through a very, very rough crisis in your life, that's another way of spiritual awakening. Because what happens is when you get to such surrender, the light of surrender is like the biggest high you can get in life. The biggest high you'll get in life is the light of surrender. That's why we need to do it more. The light of surrender is closing your eyes to a much, much, much bigger picture. So you could see people, either people who through addictions or people obviously through hitting horrible rock situations or losing, you know, going through tremendous challenges also. And he says the higher self is clever and will throw us over the precise cliff we need to awaken us. Okay? Our higher self is always working for us. Your mazel is always working for you. Even if you don't listen, the higher self will create chaos in your life. Here he uses the word throwing off a cliff. Another one is a major crash in your life. But that's actually to get you into the right mission. So look how God, look how life is happening for us. Now, how long you sit in that crisis is the key. The key is when you start getting powerless, that's when things happen. It says, when we hit bottom, the ego cracks, and this allows access to the same space that we had. So again, the ego cracks. When you hit rock bottom, what are you doing? You're killing the ego. What's the ego going to do to you? When you hit rock bottom, you're completely... That's why it's the same thing spiritually. When you're in a very dark place, be brokenhearted. When you're brokenhearted, the ego is done. Can't do nothing to you. Depression, if you're fueling the ego. You're fueling the self-centeredness. You're fueling yourself. But brokenheartedness is the same concept spiritually as surrender. What could they do? I'm brokenhearted, creator of the world. I can't see my way out, but I'm brokenhearted. I'm not saying the problem is outside. I'm saying I can't see. Versus, you don't know what you're doing. Depression is rage, anger. You don't know what you're doing, self-centeredness, etc. So you see the difference between both of these. And he's saying here, now we can understand what happens to the drug and alcohol experience. This powerful, attractive joy energy field of life itself is like the sun that's always shining. The lower energy fields are the clouds that block the inner experience. What does it do? The drug blocks off the experience of the lower energy field. So what a drug does practically is it takes the fear away, it takes the shame away, it takes the guilt away, it takes all the anxiety away. And you feel whole. You feel complete. This is why an alcoholic cannot pray. A person drinking alcohol really can't pray. Right? Only on Purim where we can get to a place where we get such a Purim, we get to a place where we're so high that we don't know the difference between Purim and Mordechai. Why? Because we're in such a high elevated state. The day itself is so high elevated that everything is one. You understand? That is the light of Mashiach. But again, the if you see today, the most people are in addiction because what? Low self-esteem, traumas, abuse, you know, failures. Mm-hmm. You know, they gave up on themselves, or they want to lose themselves. So they're looking to get back to normality. That's not bad. But you have to get to a point, like we said yesterday. Failure is not a person. Failure is an event. So you have to now process all of these events and stop making it about you and recognizing these are all building blocks. It's when we have today, when we don't have faith, what do we do? Well, I'm the failure. Instead of I'm failure is an event. When we ask the person who has an alcohol or addiction problem to look at what they're seeking, to look at what they're experiencing, they just want to feel normal. They want to feel like they've never felt before. And people will tell you many times when they took heroin, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. So if that, imagine somebody in trauma and all of a sudden they feel like they love, etc. Tell them to stop taking it. Tell them to stop. Impossible. They'll do anything. They'll give up anything in their life for that feeling. You understand? It's you can't tell them not to. Now what you have to tell them is we can get you to the same place that you want to, but now you have to do it through building yourself and letting go and the path of real consciousness. That's the whole goal here. We can see that a person is addicted to the energy field to the higher consciousness. They're addicted to love. They're addicted to the higher, you understand? They're addicted to higher energy fields. But today we label people, oh, junkies and addicts. He's a little, no, it's a very spiritual person. What are you talking about? It's just using it the wrong way. And this is why Reb Nathan tells us something very beautiful. He says, the same way you make a problem, you have to fix it. When you get high, what happens? You get high very quickly. Now to do teshuvah, now you have to wait. The same way that you made the problem, you have to go directly in the same direction to stop. To wait. So, yeah, you have to wait in treatment, 30 days, 60 days, you have to wait. Because before you got it, you stole it. Now you have to go through the process of waiting. Addiction is merely a false start to experiencing the truth. And remember, the closer you get to the truth, the more energy you have. Period. The more truth you have, the more energy you have, the higher you feel. The more you give into your false self, into your cravings, into all this, the less you feel, the lower you feel about yourself, and the more you look for society to validate you. So it's a vicious cycle. It's a vicious cycle. But all drugs do, or alcohol does, is it blocks off the energy fields that are coming from the ego, which is incredible. It just blocks you off. You're an anxious person. You're worried about what people think about you. You don't want to go to the party. You don't feel like it. You don't feel like being judged. You pop a pill. You're in the party. Hey, what's up? Now you left for the party. But obviously it ends, and then the reality comes back, and you're like, I stole from the universe. I stole this light. I didn't deserve it. But you should say, how do I get to this light the same way? How do I get to the same way? So the beginning of what he's saying here is something incredible. He says, when you're going to go now into recovery, you're going to now experience all the feelings that you ran away from. Because remember, if we, what are the feelings? Apathy, guilt, shame, fear, all of these lower energy fields, you have to go through one by one to deal with them. Because just like what the addiction does is just stacks the problems. You're just stacking up the negativity instead of breaking through it. So what do you have to do now when you're going to go seek treatment? What do you think people walk in there? They look like they're dead. People look like Mehaya Meitim. They have no energy. Why? Because they feel a tremendous amount of shame. They feel very low shame. So again, how do you work through shame? Right? Instead of getting things for free, start earning it. So you start recognizing that pain actually is causing you to earn it. So how do you get through shame? Now, how do you deal through guilt? Guilt is somebody you did before. So does God want you to repair, or does God want you to repair? Despair or repair? You start working through that. And then all of a sudden comes apathy. And then what does apathy mean? Is this even worth it in my life? Is it even worth to go to treatment? Is my life even worth it? So all of these feelings, guilt, shame, apathy, come up to a person once he's getting there. Because now he has to go back to love. And then what happens after apathy? Then he feels guilty. Guilty after all the things he did in the past, and all the people he stole from, and all the people in his life that he robbed, and all the people in his life that he did things to. So all of these feelings, you see, the problem is today, when you need a spiritual awakening, you have to go through all these feelings. You have to go through guilt and let it go. You have to go through shame and let it go. You have to go through guilt. All of this is going to come up. It's not just, okay, I'm in treatment, I'm going to feel great. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. So that means feeling, little by little, you're going to get to higher levels. That means it's better to feel, anger than to feel apathy, because at least things are going. But once you start getting in recovery, you start getting the grief, and then the grief is over all the past time that you spent in the past, and then comes what? Fear. How do I know I'm going to be able to survive again without using drugs? How am I going to be able to cope in life? So all of these feelings start coming up, right? And then all of a sudden, what happens after fear? All of a sudden, desires come. All of a sudden, a person wants to start using again. Next thing you know. And then after that, all of a sudden, he's got to get to a point, basically, of courage. When you get to a place of courage, then basically, you are encouraged. You still have fear, but you're still taking action. The goal is obviously to trust, to go into trust. But as you start going into all of this, what you're doing is just because when you're fixing an addiction, or when you're getting to, let's say, Hizbo Dedut, and you're running away from things, and all of a sudden you start feeling these things, you're thinking things are going wrong for you. No! Things are going right for you. That means things have to get worse before it gets better sometimes. Things have to get worse before it gets better. And this happens many times. I've read when you've been reading a lot of books on Chinese medicine, yin yang, like you have to have like a bad reaction to something before your body develops it gets stronger, but it gets worse always before it gets better. Like before you're going through, you're changing a diet and you're getting better, your stomach's not used to it, so it has to get stronger. It has to break down. It has to get used to it. But that appears the opposite. But it actually is getting better. And this is why the 12 steps, if you look at the 12 steps, the first step is powerlessness. You have to believe that we are powerless over this. And what powerless allows you to do is it allows you to no longer seek control. Because remember, every addiction is very controlling. You want to control the way you feel. So when you go into powerlessness, you recognize I can't save myself. What causes my prayers to get answered today? It's not my kavana. And looking at Kabbalistic names, is my inability to save myself, if it's not for God helping me. So when you get into powerless, what that does is it cracks the ego. The second step is you have to believe there's a power greater than you that can fix you. And that's what? That's Emunah. It's restoring us to a power greater. Now you're bringing God in your life. You understand? The third step is make a decision to turn our will and our lives to the care of God. That means make His will our will. Make His will our will. All of these steps are going to get you to higher consciousness. Which is exactly what, by the way, you guys are doing the 12 steps every day in the classes. You just don't know about it. But what we're doing is all of this, classes that I'm doing, which I mix therapy, I mix Torah in it, it's you're doing therapy. You're really doing therapy and you're letting go. Because the more we get happier in life, not by doing more, but by letting go of more. That's what people don't understand. You think, I'm going to be happier if my wife does this, if my wife does that, if my wife does this. No, you're going to be happier when you can live the same way if she doesn't do it. And you view her exactly the same. That's how you'll be happier. I'll be happier if I get this car. I'll be happier if I get this. No, you'll be happier when you no longer need anything to be happy. That is ultimately the paralysis of letting go. We get more in life by letting go of it. Because when we're in a better condition, things come to us. The more we are sadder and the more we are looking at the universe as the universe is depriving me of things. The universe, my father's stingy in heaven, the less I will be able to get. Because now I'm trying to approach things through force, not through power. That's the problem. You're forcing something instead of using power. But when you know that if God gives you, you will not change, and you will always change for the better, then there's no problem having giving it to you. It's only giving it to you when you're in a low state, because all you're going to do is want double up on more. So that's what we need to. The whole purpose of the 12 steps is letting go and being less self-centered. That and that's really the purpose, and that gets you to such a higher consciousness. The fourth made a searching and inventory of our lives. The fourth step. What do you think that's called? The second thing in his book to do. That's called mishpat, inventory, doing your accounting, taking accountability. It's all humility, taking accountability for my life, of what I'm doing in my life, to making sure that I'm not harming people, taking accountability, doing mishpat. We just said yesterday that when a person judges himself below, there is no judgment on high. Number five, admit it to God and ourselves and other human beings the nature of our wrongs. When do we do that? Admitting, right? Vidui, every single time we pray. We have to confess. Again, why confession and why words? Because when you confess, anytime you sin, there's a negative permutation in your body. There's a negative energy in your body. Anytime you sin, it's like missing the mark. So what happens? In order to fix it, you physically have to verbalize it. And when you verbalize it, the negative energy gets off of you. This is why Reb Nachman always, they used to call the Breslovers vidunikers. What are you always confessing all the time for? Smart. Because the more you confess, the less it's on you. You understand? The more you confess, what's the problem today? Lack of confession, keeping everything in. Shame, guilt, I'm not good enough. The same issue of Adam did. What did Adam do? Made a mistake, he got depressed, and he ran away. Checked out. We have to go check in. Check in. Created the world, I made a mistake. I'm black, but I'm beautiful. I'm black, but I'm beautiful. I'm full of sins, but I'm beautiful in your eyes. Today, I'm white, but I'm ugly. I'm afraid of my sins. I'm afraid of my imperfections. I'm afraid of my things. I want to hide away from them. I don't want to be judged. Opposite. You're supposed to say, I'm black, but I'm beautiful, as the Zohar says. I'm blackened with sins, but I'm still beautiful in your eyes. That means just because we make a mistake doesn't mean we shouldn't show up the next day to connect. But today, people, we make a mistake. What do? We ghost God, which is a complete stupid. That's stupidity. More you need God more than ever. But it's I don't know where this came from, but we're all from Adam, and we all do this. That when we make a mistake, the habit is to run away, not to run back in. When that's supposed to be the time you're supposed to check back in and sweeten the judgment. As our sages say, depart from evil and do good. Not make a mistake and run away. Where are you running to? Who's going to help you? You're just creating more of a problem. The importance of getting back in the game immediately is extremely important because there's the one very simple. One positive commandment, one positive thing leads to another positive action. One negative thing leads to another negative action. So what you need to do is you need to break the momentum. Number six, we entirely are ready to have God remove all these characters from our lives. That means you cannot remove the character yourself. God has to remove this character defect from you. We think, I can't do it myself. That's why we do his bodhidut. So we talk to God. God, I have an anger problem. You gave me this anger problem. I was born with this anger problem. I was born with this problem with lack of trust in you. I was born with it. But you told me, you gave it to me. And this is why if you look at the first commandment, I am the one who took you out of Egypt. I gave you these problems. I'm the one that has to take it out. And he commanded it directly. That means he wants a relationship with you and he wants you to remove this character. Many times I say, creator of the world, remove resentment from my heart. I don't want to feel resentment. If I don't pray to not have resentment, it's almost happening right away. If I pray that I shouldn't have resentment, it works. If I don't pray, it doesn't work. It's not a matter of whether I'm skilled or not. It's whether or not God will help you in that situation. This is why, again, depression and it's all arrogance. It's not real emet. It's not. There's no truth to it because all you have to do is ask for help. You know, the fact that you're lost in a city and you got lost and you don't know where you are and you're depressed because you're lost. Ask for help. Ask for help. Who's telling you to do it by yourself? Ask for help. You have a problem? Ask for help. End the story. It's that simple. That simple. Ask for help. That's why Reb Nachman fought against this. A broken hearted means I'm lost. Ask for help. The same thing. Number 7, he humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Number 8, make a list of the person we harmed and became willing to make amends. All of this is Yom Kippur 101, by the way. Number 9, make direct amends to such people whenever possible, except to do so would injure them. So don't do it unless it's going to injure them. Number 10, continued personal inventory when we were wrong and promptly admitted to it. Ben just took the sheets. Number 11, sought prayer and meditation to improve consciousness, contact with God. Did we not speak about that? And number 12, having the spiritual awakening, now you have to become the giver. Now you have to help others. So basically giving, growing, and giving. But what the 12 steps do is they get you into a higher energy field. That means you can get to the same high as you had before. If you go to a 12-step meeting, you'll see nobody's judging anybody. Everybody's super spiritual. Nobody, there's no judgment. It's love in the air. That's why, because on a conscious level, it's a very high energetic energy there. You understand? Everybody's vulnerable. Nobody cares about each other. They're all healing. This is why the energy field of a 12-step group is 540, what he's saying here. It's unconditional love. So when you're walking into a place, sometimes a person can walk into a Chabad, they feel unconditional love, which is beautiful. I felt, you feel a person walks into it, unconditional love, they don't care who you are, they thank God my synagogue in Harbor Islands, you definitely feel that energetic field. Versus you can have a beautiful synagogue and with very low energy because there's judgment and everything. But again, we need to really root the fact that we're seeking a higher consciousness is normal. And just think about what your life would look like if you had no more, if you were free from all of these things, free from worried about tomorrow, free from resentment, free from thinking about the past. You would be so high that you would cry to see the beauty of people. You would see somebody and you would cry and see the beauty. You couldn't see anything negative in them because you don't have it inside of you. You understand? And that is what the energy of Mashiach is, by the way. But sometimes you have to go through very, very, very low places to get there. So seeking the fact that we're judging people, oh, he's an addict. No, he's a very spiritual person. He just doesn't have the right tools to get there. He's misunderstood. Today we label things like today. You know, it's incredible when you have kids and you want to put them in schools. How they label them and they judge them like this is the deans of Chachamim of America. Like they're going to decide a person's future. Some principle. But it's just the judgment and the lack of empathy in this society. It's just incredible. But we can get there better. So if people need the 12 steps, you can look up the 12 steps. 12 steps is Breslov 101, by the way. It's all Breslov 101. I have no idea how he got the consciousness of the 12 steps. But what they'll do is they'll get you to the same place you were high, but without stealing it. Without stealing the light, earning the light, that means you could walk around high. What does high mean? High means you see love in people, You trust in yourself. You're confident. You're not worried about what people think about you all the time. You're basically free. The inner work fixes the outside world. May Hashem help us all, that we should all get high on life.
Amen.
Bye-bye.